studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is the G.I. Jake Show, featuring Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, and your host, the unfiltered, unscripted, loose cannon of Knoxville sports radio, Jake Miller. The G.I. Jake Show starts now on Fan Run Radio.
Welcome in to the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio, live in the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios. Your Tennessee Volunteers are the outright SEC regular season champions. I'm your host, Jake Miller, alongside Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, intern Jack. Tennessee gets the win last night in Columbia, and they covered because the last-second dunk by South Carolina did not count. Tennessee gets the win 66-59, in which it was a game, it seemed like we were about to run away with it at certain points. But then you start watching and you keep paying more and more attention to what's happening at the end of the game, and it's like, oh my God, we're not about to blow this. Oh my God, they're within three. Oh my God, they've cut it back to within three. And it really, like, it gave you this nervousness about it. Because it really came down to the last minute of the game, which we get, you know, a couple things go our way. They miss a few shots. We get the rebound, send our guys to the line for the 1-1, and ultimately end up winning the game. Dalton Kanak would lead the way with 26, had a fantastic first half. That run that he had there at the end of the first half is really what propelled Tennessee to victory, in my opinion. Of course, you had an 11-point lead at halftime. South Carolina outscored you 35-31 in the second half. But that first half performance in which Dalton Kanak, I think he had 14 at the end of the first half, helped propel the way. He was 100% from free throw line. Jonas Adu is next on the list with 14 points. Sakai Ziegler with 13. Nobody got a double-double last night like I had projected. You know, Jonas Adu, he got to 9 rebounds, couldn't get his 10th. But not a lot of play off the bench either. I mean, you had three guys that were rotating in with your starters. You had Awaka, Ganey, and Meshack, only accounting for 5 points between the three of them. Of course, Jemai Meshack did not score, but he was effective in other ways throughout the game. Brett, how does it feel to be a champion?
Oh, man, feels good. I mean, this is one of the goals we thought we would attain this season. We were preseason picked, so it automatically put some more pressure on you. And you went out and took care of business all season long. Yeah, it was up and down, but that's the way it goes in basketball. It's a long season. Last night was – I thought it would have been a little more comfortable. It was a lot more stressful, but trying to win championships, an outright one at that, just puts a little more stress on you as a fan, and I can't imagine as a player. And it's, and the mentality and the physicality of going into that game, you had two tough games leading up to that, you know, coming off the win at Alabama. To go back on the road against a tough opponent, you know, they play hard. It was a very physical game. I thought the rest, for the most part, kind of let them play. They were banging inside. You know, South Carolina kind of did us some favors. They really were trying to shoot threes, I thought, at a high rate when they don't do it well in the season. And then towards the end of the game, they started attacking the basket. We could not stay in front of them for the life of us. Michi Johnson got anything he wanted, you know, which could have caused us problems if they continued to do that. But, you know, we were led by Connect. 26 points, but took him 23 shots. He started 4-for-4 from three, and you know, only made one more, which was a big one. He made a 4-point play. But you know, what can you say? I mean, you won the game. That's most important. You're SEC champs. You know, you leapfrog Arizona finally on Lenardi's bracket.
He's an idiot.
You know, so
what did I tell you about them all year long, Jack? What did I say? What did I say about Arizona?
They're frauds. You say they can't win in March.
They can't. They absolutely cannot. Try to make a scenario last night on ESPN. There could be a 5-way tie for the SEC championship. Are you kidding me?
I mean, there could have been.
There could have been, but is that ever going to happen? That's just like saying a 3-loss team.
It was working that way.
It might have been, but here's the deal. That's just like saying that a 3-loss team could have made a four-team college football playoff if this happened, 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 this happened. And then they went out. That's the only way that happens. It never happens that way. It never happens that way, period. Marcus, you're a champion. How does it feel?
It feels pretty good. I feel accomplished. I was a big part of this championship. I think a lot of my hot takes really kind of pushed this team forward. So, you're welcome.
You're towing the line of Adam Hickman trying to take credit for
Dalton Connect. No, it's totally different.
Because that guy tries to take credit for Dalton Connect. If he's the reason that Dalton Connect came to Tennessee, then I'm the reason that Crystal brought back their old fries. Just saying.
I mean, I'm just saying. I think my perspective has really boosted this team's confidence, maybe, is the word I'm looking for. So, you know, sometimes they just need a guy like me. I'm their Gainey.
Okay, Jack, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing fantastic. Yeah, I've seen Marcus in the locker room a couple of times, giving some, hype speeches, so I believe it. But, yeah, I'm doing great. Great win last night. Another rock fight, which, you know, you don't love to watch, but at this time of the year, it's not about how you win. It's just about winning and getting done. Should have the one seed. And, yeah, just excited. Tournament time is coming. One more game.
And I think that everyone should be excited because we're going to pose a question of the day, and we're going to talk to Rusty here in about 10 minutes about his opinion on this. But we've had the discussion for a few weeks now as to whether or not you really want to go and do anything in the SEC tournament. Now, you do want to win this Saturday. You want to put the exclamation point on the season, and you want to basically lock in that number one seed going into the SEC tournament. Now, there's been some talk and discussions, not necessarily from the team, but around the fan base, as to whether or not we should really, I wouldn't say whether we should try or not come SEC tournament time, but how much more rest are we going to give these guys? Because the one pro to not making it to the championship is you're getting more rest for March Madness. Because once you get to the NCAA tournament, it's all about who can win six straight games. Only one team is going to do it. Only one team can do that. Now, it's easy to look at Tennessee's schedule and say, oh, well, Jake, they've won seven in a row. They've won eight in a row. They've done this. They've done that. Well, guess what? This is a different animal. This is a completely different monster than what you're used to dealing with. Now, when you get to the SEC tournament, what are you doing every time that you play a game? Every time you win, what are you doing? You're taking away a day of rest. However, we've seen in cases before, you know, we brought up the NFL analogy yesterday in which you've seen teams sit their players out because they're already locked in. They've already won a division title. They've won whatever. They've clinched a first-round bye. It's like, okay, well, tell you what, we're going to rest our guys. You know, backup quarterbacks going in. And, you know, Rick Barnes could do that. He could go into the locker room and say, okay, well, guys, guess what? DK, you're gonna rest today. Zakai, you're going to rest. We need your knees. Josiah, you're going to rest. Jonas, we're going to need you. You're going to rest. And then just start whoever he wants to. I mean, you could start Toby Awaka. You could start J.P. Estrella.
We haven't done that
Gainey.
In the past, though.
We've not done that in the past, and I don't think we will. But
no,
I'm just speaking
like,
hypothetically. I'm saying, like, if you were to do that, yeah, they're getting extra days rest, but that's also that many more days that they're going without playing basketball. So what would you do in this scenario? Because right now, make it to Sunday. You don't have to win the conference tournament outright, but it'd be nice if you did. Quite frankly, you've already got one under your belt. I'm hungry for another. Because, quite frankly, we've got one championship down, and there's two more we're chasing.
Exactly. You said it right there. You're chasing championships.
Yeah.
You want to be the best team ever in Tennessee history? You go win championships.
Yeah.
So, sitting those guys is not an option. You don't play till Friday now.
Right.
Next Friday. You play Saturday. So, you get almost a week off before
you
play again. You're probably going to have a fairly easy opponent in your first game.
Right.
So, maybe you go out and win, put a 20 – win by 20, 30, you can put those guys on the bench. You play at 1 o'clock on Friday, 1 o'clock on Saturday, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Then more likely, you're not going to play your NCAA tournament game until a Thursday or Friday.
Right. Because you're not playing
these
on
guys,
a Tuesday
these guys
or Wednesday.
These guys are young. I mean, they can – and with all the, you know, the training and the lock and the facilities and stuff like that, you can get your body ready to go again. You're playing for a championship.
And I think everybody
adrenaline
can,
would just get you going.
Well, and I think everybody can agree that come NCAA tournament time, I don't think anybody's going to take off of work next Friday to go home or go out and watch, you know, whatever happened in the ICC tournament. But whichever day we're playing, I think there's going to be a lot of people that use a lot of vacation time. Not a lot of vacation time. They might take a half a day to go watch the Vols play because, you know, this is it. It's going to be your last six games. Yes, I said six because we're playing in all six. I think we're going to play in all six games in the NCAA tournament. Because if you can persevere like you have over the past few weeks, there's nothing that's going to stop you.
My only concern with last night is we were so dependent on Dalton going and get something.
He was only not a 24.
That's not very good.
No.
He scored 26. But you look at our offense, it was strictly he was running off screens constantly, and I'm all for it.
Right.
Now, he did connect with, you know, a couple times with Adu off pick and rolls when they doubled him.
Right.
But for the most part, it was always just, you know, Vescovy wasn't even looking at the basket. You know, James wasn't even looking at the basket. At some point, teams are just going to shut Connect down. What are you going to get? That was concerning last night a little bit. Connect's going to get worn out. Are we worried about that at all? I mean, we're putting a lot of stress on this guy.
We are.
He's carrying this team right now.
I mean, yeah, he's the reason that you're going to be as competitive as you are in March. That's the thing. He's going to be the reason you're competitive.
Now, we're one of the few teams. The physicality and the mental game that's been on the stress of trying to win this chip, maybe it's eased a little bit. But, man, there's no rest. You got Kentucky coming in here. You don't lose on senior day. You don't want to give them any confidence going to March because there's people talking about them
being
a dark horse, making a run. And – you know, unlike us, they got four or five guys and go get you a bucket. We don't.
No, we literally had three guys that contributed last night.
Zakai, maybe the minutes we were putting on him throughout the season. But we need him. He comes off the floor. We're a completely different team.
Yeah. I mean, and that's –
but he had a big basket last night. He had a big three.
That was his only three of the game. Before that, it was like Lamonte Turner. It's like, don't shoot, don't shoot, don't shoot. And then when he shoots that one.
Don't get me wrong, but I'm excited as anybody to get this championship. It's – you know, I haven't seen it since 08. You know, you talked about this more when we came in. You didn't want to share anything this season.
No.
We don't like sharing. We want it for ourselves. But you have to also dissect what happened last night, what we saw.
It's like sharing a house with somebody. Yeah. You don't want to share it with somebody. You want to own it outright.
Yeah. And, you know, it was on the road. It was against a team, you know, so. But, I mean, there's a little bit of concern on my end, you know. So, who's going to be the X factor? Who's going to step up? You know, Adu was kind of big to start the game. He hit his first three, four baskets, but then he kind of disappeared. Made the big free throws down the stretch for us to keep us ahead, put us up four, kind of iced the game. So, I don't know. It's great to win, though. That's all I can say right now.
I think a big takeaway is, like you said, those free throws. I think we had like 10 more than they did.
Yeah, we outscored them by, yeah.
And that's a thing I think we've been struggling with this year is just getting to the free throw line.
Well, that's ultimately what killed South Carolina yesterday. They were only 5 of 10 from the free throw line.
And they were complaining. They weren't going to the basket. That's what I'm saying. That also concerned me. Mickey Johnson at the end of the game was going to the basket and converting or getting fouled all game. I don't know why he was settling. He was 0 of 7 from three. Why he came out trying to shoot threes, I'll never know. He was going past Vescovy like he was standing still.
I mean, that's where his 18 points came from. He didn't get a single one from behind the arc.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they kind of got hot towards the end. Cooper hit a couple late. You know, Vescovy tried to help off, and they kick it to him. But, you know, you're happy to win. That's all you can say right now. You go enjoy this while you can, but it's a quick turnaround again, and you got another top team. At least it's at home. So get to celebrate this one for a little bit and got to get back to business.
Put the exclamation point on the season. That's exactly what I expect Tennessee to do this Saturday when Kentucky rolls into town. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we return, we're going to talk with our friend West Coast Rusty, get his thoughts on what happened last night and his thoughts going forward. Stay with us. The G.I. Jake Show marches on right here on Fan Run Radio.
Ever been the coach who realized the team's geared?
Back here on the G.I. Jake Show right here on Fan Run Radio. Jake Miller, Brett Hollander, Marcus Young, and intern Jack cruising along with you on a championship Thursday here on Rocky Top. Pleased to be joined by my good friend West Coast Rusty. Rusty, what's up, man?
Oh, just chilling, man. Just watching the sun come up. It's gorgeous. And, yeah, going to get the day rolling.
Absolutely. Looking pretty swole in that picture, by the way.
I'm sorry?
Looking pretty swole with your tattoo hanging out in that picture, by the way.
Oh, that's not really me. That's fake.
Okay, good, good.
That's all Photoshop.
Very nice. Very nice. You might never might never know what Rusty actually looks like. Rusty, big win down in Columbia, South Carolina last night. And, you know, I'd started to develop that feeling, you know, the weird stuff that happens in Columbia. And it did not happen to the basketball team last night as they clinched the outright SEC championship against South Carolina, in which we don't have to share it with anybody for the first time in 16 years. Rusty, what was your initial reaction to the win? Better yet, let's backtrack a little bit. Going into halftime of that game, Tennessee's up 11. And it looks like we're about to absolutely roll them with the run that we went on at the end of the half. But then they start to creep their way back into it. And you start to get a little bit nervous. And it's like, oh no, not again. Like, we are not reverting back to this. We've developed a new style of basketball that we play here on Rocky Top. We do not let teams come back. We overcome. We persevere. And eventually, Tennessee gets the win. Just take us through your sequence of emotions from the first half ending all the way up until the final buzzer sounded.
Thank goodness for the end of the first half. Because that team, if they are in shouting distance, they're going to keep playing their way and muck the game up. That's what they want to do all the time. And us pushing it out a little bit made me feel a little bit better. But I still didn't feel good against that team at any point until I think we were up. I want to say it's when we went up 7 at about 12 seconds to go before they scored their last bucket. Then we went back and went back up by 7 with 2 more free throws. Just because they just grind on you. To feel comfortable against them, you got to do kind of what Auburn and Alabama did to them when they were off of their home court, where you just blow them out and they kind of tap out. When you leave them in a 10, 12, 15-point ball game, they're just going to keep using 30 seconds on the shot clock every possession. They're going to stay in front of you. They're not going to try to over pursue on defense. They're not going to try to steal the ball. They're just going to try to make you grind it out and play slow. And they're always able just to keep you close enough. So that the end of that first half was huge for me. That made it to where we could at least eventually get them out of what they want to do, which is what happened. I found their coach's comments earlier in the year kind of ridiculous when he was claiming we don't play slow. We're just really good at defense, so it makes the other team play slow, so our scores are low because of that. And that's just complete nonsense from him, because the truth is they do play slow. They want to use almost the entire shot clock, as I said. They want to grind you down and make you defend forever and beat you in the 50s. Unless it gets late in the game and they're down 10, and then Michi Johnson will get shots up with 10 seconds to go and, you know, 10 seconds off of the shot clock. They'll get offense going really fast. So they can play that way. He chooses not to. So it was disingenuous when he made that claim earlier.
Absolutely.
And I think that was after they beat us. People were asking him, hey, why do you guys play so slow? Oh, we don't.
No, they definitely play slow. Definitely play slow. And looking at Dalton Connect's performance last night, of course, he goes off for 26 again. And people are looking at this, and it's like, well, he had to shoot the ball 23 times. Well, guess what? When he's the only guy that you rely on to go get you a bucket, you have to put the ball in his hands. Whether that be from behind the arc, whether that's him driving to the lane, you have to rely on him in situations like this, because nobody else is able to put anything up. You had Vescovi, who his only 2 points came from the free throw line. Josiah Jordan-James, his only points came from the free throw line. You only had Tobey Awaka get a basket. Jordan Gainey had one. You know, the only three in your starting lineup that could score last night were Jonas Adu, Dalton Connect, and Zakai Ziegler. And Zakai Ziegler, 6 of his came from the free throw line. So, I mean, you were really relying on those two guys. You were relying on Dalton Knecht and Jonas Adu to get you those buckets. And the thing is, you have to in situations like that. And that's something that we didn't have last year. You know, we talked all year last year about how when you look at that team, it's like, who are you going to rely to go get you a bucket late in the game? And nobody had an answer because we didn't have one. It's like, well, I guess it would be Vescovy or I guess it would be whoever. But this year, like, the definitive answer, unanimously, it's Dalton Knecht. And what did he do? He went and he did what he had to do in the second half, especially in the first half. I mean, 14 points. I think he started out, what, 4-4 from three. That was incredible. But you had to get him to go eat your buckets late in the game, and that's what he did.
Yeah, I mean, 9 of 23 is 40% from the field, and most of his shots came from 17 feet or further out. So, yeah, I have no problem with 40% whenever it's either threes or long twos. The 9 of 23 thing, I've heard people talk about it, didn't really bother me. Their coach, both games, played us a way that I don't know that everybody will. I mean, Alabama did, Auburn did. It's the same game plan that Auburn used. It's the opposite of what Kentucky used in Lexington, which what they did last night was they tried to make Knecht go one-on-one and let him and force him to get his, but at a high volume, and not let Triple J, Santi, or anybody else have open looks. They played no help and forced us to use basically Knecht one-on-one or Knecht off a middle ball screen. And when we middle ball screened, they hard hedged and tried to double and force him to get it out of his hands to the roller, the screener, which was usually a do. It was a good game plan. But if a team's going to defend us that way, Knecht's going to have a really high volume night of shooting the ball. If teams help off like Kentucky did, you're going to see Vescovy and Triple J and Ganey and a bunch of other people with wide open threes. And Knecht scores 16. Same kind of thing happened at Alabama. It's really how big his volume is strictly going to be based on what teams do defensively.
Absolutely.
And if you do what you did last night, I'm fine with it. I'll take him getting 26 on 23 shots and be happy with it.
Hey, Rusty. What's up, buddy? Kind of back in what Jake was saying, I'm excited as anybody that we won last night, but you also have to dissect what you saw in the game, and I do have my concerns. Our one-on-one defense was not very good. They kind of bailed us out. I feel like if they played the way they did towards the end of the game versus as opposed to the way they started the game, because they were uncharacteristically just putting up threes, playing right into our hands. Now, we didn't take advantage of it on the other end. We didn't really get any space, make any shots on ourselves, but just watching the end of the game, it just seems like we were just so reliant on Dalton. And don't get me wrong, I want the ball in his hands. He's our best player. He's one of the best players in the country. But at the same time, he kind of got worn down. He's 4-for-4 from three. Then he was 1-of-7 the rest of the game. Now, his one was a huge one. It was a four-point play. But, and I'm wondering if Zakai's starting to wear down a little bit because we haven't seen him as I don't know what the word I'm looking for is, as productive, I guess, as he had been to start the season. Adu starts the game strong now, but he doesn't end the game as strong. So I'm just wondering, are we too reliant on DK? Is he starting to wear down? Is it just the product of having three really tough games and a fourth to come in a row? Because this is the way March is going to be with less rest. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts were on that.
I think it's South Carolina, man.
Okay.
I think it's them. I think they're tough as daggone nails on defense. It's really hard to drive by any of their guys. Mm-hmm. They do not open their hips. They do not let you get an angle to the rim. Mm-hmm. Even Knecht, when he would get an angle, they still get you squared back up, and it's almost impossible to get a straight line drive on them. They're just tough. They are defensively, they're the closest thing we would see to Houston, the way they play defense.
Right.
They hedge ball screens hard, which Houston's the only other team in the top 25 that defends ball screens that way, and they just do not let you get to the middle. They prevent it with every ounce of their being. I would take last night, the way that went down, less about fatigue and more about the opponent.
Yeah, I agree. I guess we kind of touched on this game. What are your thoughts just moving forward to Saturday now? You know, obviously you got the championship under your belt, but you got another rivalry game. You got senior day. I mean, do you expect a letdown? Do you expect our team to come out fired up? That's the way I'm seeing it. You know, I think it helps that we do have a Kentucky coming in, so you get focused right back, and you are in front of your home crowd. It's going to be electric in there, celebrating a championship and going out and not probably playing the weakest of the other three teams defensively, I would say.
By far, yeah.
You know, so, but Kentucky is starting to get some momentum right now, and they're playing well. Just what are your thoughts going into Saturday?
I can't imagine our guys being up for this one as much as they were the last three, because okay. Now they've won the championship, and it's Kentucky. I despise them. I'm sure our team despises them.
Yeah,
but it's still got to be it's going to have to be a much. We're not going to have the same emotion. And starting this four game stretch that we're about to be ending on Saturday, Kentucky was always the scariest game for me, because I think Kentucky is the team that there's zero chance they can win six games in March,
mm-hmm.
because they're just not going to give you consistent enough six times in a row. But if you vaulted them to Monday night, the national championship game, and you put anybody across the court from them, and it was just one game and they were there, I would pick them to win it against anybody just on that Monday night, because they are a juggernaut offensively. Now, they'll give you nights where they don't defend, and they'll give you a half like they did against Vanderbilt last night, the first half where they were letting Vandy hang around. Mm-hmm. But if it mattered and it was just one game, I would pick them in that day. So I don't have great feelings about this game on Saturday, but honestly, you know what? We're SEC champs right now. So
worry about that tomorrow.
I'm almost to the point, like, let's just play everybody on the team, like 10 minutes, like Kinnett gets 10 minutes, Carr gets 10 minutes.
But you have a week off though, right? I mean,
I know. Well, I've just been beating it around. I don't know what I want at this point. Yeah. I want the number one seed. I want the number one seed because I want to.
That's what I'm worried about. Do they just get, they put us at one just to say we're at one. So if we lose Saturday, they're like, well, we put you at one last week. You're, you know.
How about if we play the walk-ons on Saturday and lose? Can they really punish you for that? If you're like, you know what, the game didn't matter. We've already clinched. We're the 16 or we're the 15-0 Colts resting our starters on the last game of the season because it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still Kentucky, and I want to beat the crap out of them. So let's go win. I've just been playing around in my head. I think our guys are gonna be euphoric for the next couple of days, and I don't know that that's a good recipe for playing Kentucky on Saturday. But watch them prove me wrong. Watch those dogs go out there and just battle with every ounce.
Some of the guys last game, you know, they don't want to have that stain on their record. Oh, you lost senior day to Kentucky.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Watch them. They're gonna. So now that I think about it, they're going to prove me wrong, and they're going to go put it on the Wildcats.
Rusty, I'm going to take you even further into the future.
God.
Let's go.
20 years
Let's
from
go.
Now. No. So obviously you mentioned the first seed, and this is going to be the big discussion point for Tennessee, not only with whatever happens on Saturday, but what happens in the SEC tournament based on what we've been told in the past. But in your mind, if Tennessee does decide to play their starters and – not take easy on this Kentucky Wildcat team and comes out and wins. In your mind, is there anything that can happen in the SEC tournament that can take away a one seed after having a four-game stretch of wins that we would have had if we do beat Kentucky? Does that pretty much lock you into a one seed if you beat Kentucky?
If we beat Kentucky, I would say it's like 90% a lock. I would say it's 90%. It's really close to being a lock. Now, if we lost to somebody, like if a quad three somehow made it to Friday and played us and beat us, there's that scenario where it could kill us as far as our numbers go, that we'd get a quad three loss. It would drop us down way far in the computers, et cetera. That could happen. But if on Friday we play Florida or Mississippi State – or one of those teams, A&M, somebody who's not a quad, probably any of those teams are close to a quad one on a neutral court matchup. any of those, I don't think it's going to hurt us enough, because we're going to have one like four quad ones in a row, and our numbers are so far past Arizona, and Arizona don't have much left that they can do. Yeah. Their only chance at a quad one matchup, I believe, left is if they get to Washington State in the conference finals. That's it. And, we far surpassed them in the numbers. The real thing to me, Marcus, I want the one seed because we've never had one, and I want the one seed in L.A. because I'm not sure if you guys know I'm kind of selfish.
Yeah, we heard.
West Coast Rusty, what?
West
Tennessee.
I mostly just don't want to be the number two in the South because I don't want to play Houston and Dallas. Houston, as I said earlier, is South Carolina on steroids. And I don't like that matchup, at least until we get to the Final Four. If we play Houston in the Final Four, I'll celebrate it. But you know what? I'll be fine if we're the two going to Boston, because I love our matchup with UConn. I think we will smother them. They haven't played a defense that's going to get up in their face and make the Cam Spencer uncomfortable and make Caravan uncomfortable and make Hunter uncomfortable. We will turn them inside out. Give me Purdue in the rematch all day long. I'll go to Detroit and play that one as the two seed any day of the week, because we'll have a healthy Z and we will get them in the rematch. Give me Arizona out here as Arizona the two seed, or Arizona as the one seed in us two. Just, I don't want to go to Dallas. That's my whole thing with this.
No, I don't blame you. One last question from me. Looking at the potential player of the year conversation that will heat up momentarily, I'm sure. Is it possible, obviously it does depend on what happens in March, but is it possible that Tennessee is going to have a guy that should win it and get beaten out by, I believe, another Big Ten guy? Purdue's in Big Ten, right? Yeah. So we're going to have another Big Ten guy that is going to take away a player of the year for us?
I think, he's going to win the play. Yeah, Edie's going to win the player of the year.
Yeah, it's already done. And
truth is, Edie's pretty great. And the real thing with him is he does cause matchup nightmares as much or maybe a little bit more than Kinect, because you have to adjust everything you do when you play him. I think Kinect's by far the better basketball player, but in the college game, Edie does make you change the way you operate. So he's going to win it. But you know what? Give him the National Player of the Year. Dalton Kinect's going to go win the Final Four MVP, and that's what matters.
Yeah, how did that Edie thing work out last year when he won it?
He
is having a better season statistically than he did last year, so
right.
It's not like he's slipped off.
But Fairleigh Dickinson's just sitting there waiting on
him. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, Rusty, one question for you. So our last two games have been some absolute rock fights. Does that worry you at all, or is it that time of year where a win's a win and any way you get it is worth it? Or is there something more behind? I think we've shot 35%. I think both of those last games. Is it just the road environment? What do you think it is?
I love the last three ball games so much because they're all three totally different type of ball games, and we managed to win each different kind of game. And it's different kind of games, different roles. Like Alabama's this juggernaut wanting to go fast offensively, but they don't play much defense. They leave shooters open a ton. They try to double. Auburn's this team that plays through their post and plays craziness, but is really, really solid half-court defense at the same time. And South Carolina's this grind-you team. I love that we played three different styles against elite basketball teams that, let's be clear, all three of those basketball teams could make a Final Four this year. They're good enough to do that. Now, they probably won't. None of them will probably make it, but they could. They're that good. And we found a way to win each of those ball games. It makes me feel better about the tournament seeing us go win those kind of ball games. This is the best the SEC's ever been, and we're the champs with a chance to win it by two games on Saturday.
Good stuff. Rusty, tell us where to find you on Twitter, man.
West Coast Rusty, and that's Rusty with a W, and at Big Orange Banner. We'll be doing our thing tonight. Jake, I'm sure you might come on and do a little segment with us, I'm hoping. Everybody else, please jump on too. Guys, I'd love to have you all come in and each of you give you each a few minutes to answer some of my questions. We'll put the shoe on the other foot.
G.I. Jake After Dark. It's always a interesting experience.
Cocktails will be flowing. The Modelo will be on ice. It'll be a large time.
That it will. Rusty, thank you so much, man. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, y'all. Y'all the best.
Yes, sir. You are as well. See what I did there? Gave herself some props, gave him some props. That's how you do it. That is our friend West Coast Rusty. Check him out on Twitter at West Coast Rusty. Stay with us. Final segment of hour number one coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Are you? Segment of hour number one here on the G.I. Jake Show. What's the matter?
I got you doing the shimmy. He's doing the sprinkler over here.
We're just in here vibing, man. Let's go to the phones.
I'm here for it, but, you know.
Joshy Boy is up next. What do you say, Joshy?
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey. Jake.
Josh.
Howard and everybody else's Tennessee Volunteers or SEC outright champs.
Yes. No co-champions. We are not sharing this one. This one solely belongs to Tennessee.
Jake, which one feels better? The one we won 15 years ago with Pearl or this one last night?
I think this one just because, I mean, there's an expectation when you talk about Rick Barnes and, you know, what he's been able to do. And we know we've had a share of an SEC championship with him. We really should have had probably – I don't know, maybe two more with him. I mean, we've had the capabilities to do it. We've had the talent to do it. But this year, you've got a dog on the team in which it really felt like he could help propel this team to everything that it needs to do and more. And he's done that. And, you know, that's credit to Rick Barnes for making that happen. And, you know, there's a lot of us, Joshy, that have done a complete and utter 180 on Rick Barnes. I mean, you know how I was last year, you know, towards that team. And it might have just had to do with some of the media train that was behind that team and, you know, knowing, you know, the mistakes that we've made in the past. And of course, Grant Williams sitting on the bench to start overtime against Purdue was one of them, the collapse against FAU last year. And, you know, there was a lot of animosity towards the program at that point. It's like, yeah, it's like you're ranked top 10 consistently. You're going to be in the NCAA tournament, but you're flaming out in the NCAA tournament when you shouldn't. And this year, it feels different this year, man.
I don't want to say, like, we all know what his history is in the postseason. He's done bad in March. But I don't want to say, like, this feels different this year, like they're going to make a big run. But it just, like, seems really, really different with, like you said, probably the best player in the country on your roster.
He is the best player in the country.
You are definitely probably going to make a run in the tournament.
Well, Dalton Knecht's the best player in the country. I don't care what Zach Edey does. The only good thing that he does better than Dalton Knecht is being about a foot taller than him. But, you know, Joshy, it's one of those things, too. It's like people want to look at me and people like, you know, a lot of us, as a matter of fact, and say, well, you all are so negative, you don't want the team to win. You'd rather be right and have the team lose than to have this team win, and that's completely and utterly false. Because, Joshy, let me tell you something. Nobody wants to win, as we call them, the Negavols. Like, nobody wants to win more than us. It's just that I feel like we know a lot about the game, and I feel like, you know, our anticipations that we've developed in our own heads sort of take over at times. It's like, you know, we expect to lose. But when we win, it makes it that much sweeter. That's why it means a lot, you know, to the people that are so down on the program, so down on Rick Barnes. You know, and we've seen this in basketball. We've seen it in football. And it means more to those fans who expect to lose because you're not expecting it, because you've studied the game for so long and you know what you – or at least you think you know what's about to happen. And then you get a nice surprise at the end. That's why it means so much to me to watch this team go out and do what it's done.
But then on the same, but on the other side of things, you're saying you want to rest guys, like you want them to sit.
No, I didn't say that. I said there's people out there saying it. Now, at one point a few weeks ago, I said that.
Yeah,
but
I know.
now that I've analyzed it, and it's like, well, we might not want to do this because then you run the risk of those guys having too much rest.
Are you saying that no one wants to win more than Negavols?
Yes.
I'm gonna throw a wrench at you. I don't believe that. I think a lot of the Negavals want to lose to be proven right.
No, there are a select few people that want to lose to be proven right, and
I can name one.
Oh, I can name one that used to work here.
Yeah. Yeah. But, Jake, I agree with Rusty's comment, what he said about he would rather Dalton connect win a Final Four MVP than National Player of the Year. I definitely agree with that. That would be a better accomplishment, in my opinion.
And Connect's going to win some post-regular season awards. I mean, there's multiple awards you can win. He may not get the top award. I know he's been announced a finalist for like two or three different awards that he's probably going to win one or two of them. He's going to be Conference Player of the Year. He's going to be first-team All-American. We know he's the best player in the country. You know, my only concern is, are we too reliant on him to go, you know, to take us to the promised land? I think we know he can. We've seen him carry us. But we're at some point, somebody else is going to have to hit a shot or, you know, have a stretch. We it's not Connect that has a three-minute drought last night on multiple occasions. It's the whole team. Somebody else can make a basket, you know?
Yeah.
That's my only concern coming from last night. Yeah, it's great we won, but I have my concerns after last night too, though.
Jake, you care if I talk some bed?
Go right ahead, buddy. That's what we're here for.
That's your thing, Joshy.
Well, I got an early winner for you guys. You guys probably needed, especially Marcus. Belmont plays in the first round of their conference tournament today against Valparaiso. I'm not going to be taking the full game spread. Take the first half spread against Valparaiso. They roll in the first half.
We appreciate the phone call, Joshy.
No problem.
We're betting on mid-major conference tournaments. Goodness. Get me Phil in here next. What do you say, Philly?
What do you think, Jack?
Philly!
SEC champions, pretty good, isn't it?
Pretty cool, you know it?
It's a lot better than hearing about Belmont gambling, you know?
You're a degenerate, man, if you were talking about that game.
Oh.
I do think Belmont has a player Tennessee might be interested in the portal if he gets in the portal.
Oh, yeah? Who's that?
I can't think of his name. The View had Jordan Moore on talking about it.
Yeah, I heard Jordan. He's talking about Northern Colorado has another guy or something.
Yeah, there's several of them out there.
What if that just becomes our pipeline? The Northern Colorado pipeline. Honest to God, I wouldn't hate it.
Depends on he can play.
Well, you got to get somebody to replace Connect because you can all sit there and complain about Connect doing too much. We don't have Connect. We'd be sitting at the house.
Oh, we wouldn't even be in contention for an SEC championship.
Exactly. He's that good.
He is. He's like the game. He's like Triple H. He's that damn good.
And Ziggler can hit big shots every once in a while.
I mean, that's...
And the dude's he's the most improved player on our team.
He's getting minutes. He doesn't have Euros and Conlon down there to deal with, taking all his minutes.
The best thing that happened in this program was those two leaving.
How dare you?
What?
Euros was a stand-up guy.
He was a terrible basketball player.
You
could have used him at moments, though. We had some big dudes to bang with.
There it is again.
There was some banging going on last night.
That there was. I mean, the thing is, Phil, I'll be honest, I got worried there late in the game. Like, I was really afraid that they were going to come back and win. And, you know, luckily for us, it didn't happen, but it really did seem like in stretches that we were going to go down there and blow this lead. Like, an 11-point halftime lead, it felt like it was just going to just disintegrate and disappear right in front of us.
Well, I mean, Tennessee's the last three games, they've kind of kept a distance, and then the team makes a run at them, and then they put them away at the end, like the Auburn game. We came from behind and got a pretty good lead, and then Auburn came back, and we beat them. And Alabama, this is, you know, same type game, really.
Mm-hmm.
Just never know what's going to happen with this team. That's the one thing that I have noticed about this team is you just never know what's going to happen. But
we don't panic when we get behind either, like we have in the past.
That's the one thing that is constant. And, you know, this is something that if this would have happened last year, I want everybody to think back to last year. If this is happening last year down in Columbia, what's the outcome of this game? I think we fold like a cheap tent and we lose.
Didn't we beat them by 40 last year down there?
Yes, but I'm talking like if take last year's Tennessee roster and compare it to this year's South Carolina roster.
I still hate giving that team last year no credit because they lost Ziegler. That's a huge loss.
Well, they started faltering before they lost him, though.
Did they?
Oh, yeah.
I know we lost to Florida, but, I mean, we're right
We didn't
there.
Lose to Kyle Ziegler until the end of February.
I don't know.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what we do in the NCAA tournament. I hope we beat – I'm sure – I hope we can beat Kentucky Saturday. Kentucky don't play any defense at all. That's one thing I like.
I mean, the thing is, like, we very well might go out and we might put up 100 points again on them. And I'm here for it. I want to see it. I want to see it happen. I don't know what the over-under is for Saturday's game yet, but go ahead and take the over.
Well, what I would do against Kentucky, I would try to slow Kentucky's 3 points down and let them go to the basket to beat us. So that's how they're going to beat us instead of shooting all them those threes they throw up there.
That's all they know how to do. I mean, that's just Calipari style of ball now. That's all they do. They just love to shoot the three. They're basically out there playing organized pickup ball. That's what happens when you get nothing but a bunch of NBA prospects and then one kid that actually wants to be there. You just get a bunch of guys out there that want to go out and jack up a bunch of threes.
Well, we're SEC champs, and I guess the view's going to rip me for picking South Carolina yesterday, but
I just pick against us then, Phil, the rest of the season. See how
that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep picking against us. And we'll keep winning.
Hey,
how about that?
Yeah, there you go.
All right, guys. See you.
Appreciate the phone call, Philly. Stay with us. Hour number one of the books. Hour number two of the G.I. Jake Show coming up right here on Fan Run Radio. Ever been